probably could have been said in much simpler verbiage, but perhaps not. I don't know. I have a high school diploma. I do not have a college degree. I'm sure Mr. Crozier, my fine friend here who slept on bus benches for a while, he probably understands this thing better than I do. Did you or did you not? I don't know. It is a complete... let me tell you something. Let me make this point about memos. This has nothing to do with the people who manage this radio station in particular. This just has to do with management in general, no matter what the business. And I'm sure that you've experienced this in your own walk of life, in your own workplace yourself. You're working your ass off. Every day you come in and you give it 150%. It may be your career of life. It may be a life decision. This is going to be your career. And so it's not just a job. It's not just an avocation. This is your life's work. Your creative impulse is to do this work. So you go in every day, and you're giving it all that you've got. I can tell you that in my case, that's true. Now, some days we do well. Other days we stink the joint out. I understand that's life. But it ain't like I walk in here on any given night, say, well, man, I think I was about to just kind of cruise here for 3 hours. Man, there's no such thing, especially the kind of show that we do around here, 7 to 10 at night. There's no such thing as cruising. We got to come with some material. We have to execute. We have to create. We have to inspire and instill and, you know, get the audience sort of involved. And it's a tough road to hoe, baby. I mean, it's a, you know, we're working. I'm working over here. I don't need a guy. Any guy. To send me a memo to motivate me. Now, if there's anybody around this radio station that needs to be motivated, they ought to be canned. And I don't know of anybody like that. I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just telling you, if you think there's somebody around here that needs motivation, then they need to be canned right out. They need to be motivated right out the door, man. This is not Fresno, with all due respect. We're not here in Busted Whistle, Arkansas, or Ogallala, Nebraska. This is the number two radio commercial market on the planet Earth, or so they tell me. So you either come in here pitching or you don't. You're either ready to go or you're not. You know, and you're either here to work as hard as you possibly can or you're not. Now, I, for one, I come here every night ready to go. We're ready to go every night. We got a show ready every night, and we give it everything. There's some nights, the first 30 minutes, I'm soaked with sweat. I'm not kidding you. So I'm not saying that I resent getting a memo trying to motivate me. Certainly I do not resent it. I'm not saying that it's offensive. What I'm saying, it's superfluous. It's a lot of claptrap. It's a lot of hot air that is better used, spent, or otherwise dispensed in other ways than to start giving me ideas on how I can innovate. That's all I ever think about all day long, is how I can innovate, how I can do something a little bit different on the show, how we can bring a little bit something, you know, something, you know, a little surprising, maybe a little. It's all I ever think about all day long, all week long, all month long, all year long. I'm thinking, how can we change it? How can we evolve it? How can we turn it? How can we twist it? How can we hook the audience a little bit better than we did the night before? That's all I ever freaking think about with this gig. Then I got a guy, you know, it's like 26 years later, sent a...
Buonasera. Vi ringraziamo per aver scelto di volare con Phil Henry Air. Voleremo ad un'altitudine di 30.000 piedi e cappuccino. Il volo di stasera offrirà Al Pacino e devo inoltre annunciare che Mafia.
That's right. That's exactly right. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. I'm wearing a shirt tonight, by the way, that my wife gave me. And this is not apropos of anything, but I just wanted to mention, my wife gave me the shirt, I guess, about a month or so ago. And you can see here, Mike, it says Gant, G-A-N-T, right? And Mike's nodding his head like, oh, yeah, it's a great brand. Well, yeah. Well, I was sitting in the program director's office this afternoon, and he says, let me give you a tip, Phil. We were talking about a lot of different things. He says, I just want to give you a little tip before you leave. So what? Gant is a fat man's designer company. And I said, is that right, man? He says, yeah, I gotta be honest with you, man. Because our PD, David Hall, is a wonderful man. But yeah, David, he packs a little weight. I mean, don't we all? I pack a little bit here. He says, no, I'm telling you, believe me. That's a fat man's designer label. My wife goes out and finds, God, I just don't know what to get Phil. Well, look at this. This looks like it'll fit him. Forget about the color or the cut or the design or whatever. Here, God, I can't find a thing. And look at it. Here's something over here. This sheet over here will do. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Charlie LaFountain, he was a media buyer, an advertising buyer here in Los Angeles, and is on our program occasionally to talk about things international and national in the world of media. Just returned from London. Charlie, first of all, welcome home. How was it?
Thank you, Phil. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time.
Do you have an apartment over there?
We have a flat in the South Kensington area of London, but we were traveling into Ireland. We were in Dublin, we were in Limerick, we were in a different places purchasing, and had a great trip. I spend a good part of at least I've spent a good part of this year out of the country.
How many months?
I was gone about 6 months this time, and I was with my wife was over there with me for the first few months of the summer, and then she came home because we've got kids starting school and that. But so I was by myself any year. You can talk about any year. I'll probably be out of the country anywhere from 3 months. To 6 months, depending upon how busy things are. And I will tell you, I didn't want to bring this up, but I'll tell you that I got into a hassle at my bank today. I have, as I said, been out of the country about 6 months, living in London, and we were doing a lot of purchasing. And I have to tell you, and again, I'm not a braggadocio or anything, Phil, but I'm a man who does very little cash transaction because I use a lot of credit cards. I do a lot of wire transfers. I have an income that's substantial, and I don't really deal because I have a lot of people who my people pay bills for us. We have a business manager who pays our household bills, so I don't really deal in a lot of cash, and I don't carry a lot of cash. When I do carry a lot of cash, I'm generally carrying $50s or $100 bills.
So you don't walk around with money to tip or anything?
I have singles and things like that, but I don't have a lot of water bills on me all the time, because most of my bills, most of the transactions, if I go to a restaurant, I'm paying by way of credit card. If you're purchasing clothes, you're paying by way of credit card. A lot of the money that we transfer between our bank accounts is done by way of either a wire transfer. I do a lot of electronic banking, so I'm not living in the world of money, cash money, because as I said, most of the cash that I carry on me is...
Is it safe to say that you're a wealthy guy, Charlie? I mean...
Well, I don't want to talk about how wealthy I am. I'm very comfortable in that. And in that regard, you don't carry a lot of cash. So hard currency, Phil, isn't something that's a big part of my life. It's just not something that I find a lot in my wallet. It happens with guys like me, and sometimes you're too busy to pay attention to a lot of these things, and that's why we have people who will take care of our bills. I'm very, very busy on any given day, any given business cycle in the quarter, especially the ending quarter of the year, to deal with things like that.
And so you said you got into a hassle at your bank, huh?
Well, the hassle started on Sunday night. We were having a party for a 40th birthday party for Mark Rutan. You know Mark, who works over with us?
Yeah, I know Mark. He just turned 40?
He just turned 40, yeah. And so we're having a party, and my wife had laying around. She had gone over to one of these joke stores, and she got some gag gifts for everybody to give away, and she got some of these, the things you buy at a gag store, those chattering teeth and things like that. She got a squirting flower, real stupid stuff that she was getting for people to give away at this party and for people to pass around and all of that sort of thing, okay? So I grabbed a stack of would look to be like this phony money that she got. And you can get it if you've ever been to these joke stores.
I haven't. You know, I got to tell you something. My hat's off to your wife. I haven't been to a joke store, those gag stores, in a long time.
Well, she went over there. It was an inspiration that she had.
This is the place where you buy the chattering teeth and and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, you get gags, squirting flowers.
Boy, that stuff's corny.
Huh?
That stuff is so corny, that chattering, the whoopee cushion.
Right. They don't even call them that anymore. They'll call them like a fart pillow or a fart thing. They don't even call it a whoopee cushion anymore. So she gets a bunch of this fake stuff, and I grab a stack of these fake bills. She's got like the fake money that you can buy. So I grab a stack of these things, and I stick them in a card for Mark, and I wrote on it. I took a stack of this stuff, and I put it in with the card. I took about $500 worth of this play money, and I put it in with a card, and I signed the card, "Have a drink on me, ha-ha," something like that. So my wife sees me passing these out throughout the party.
And so what is this fake joke money?
Well, yeah, it's fake joke money that she got. She got a stack of this stuff, and I'm passing out of the party. I'm giving a bunch to the kids. I'm passing out, I don't know, it's a couple thousand bucks worth of this fake money that they've got, and if you've ever seen this stuff, it looks real. Okay.
It's green. It's got the pictures of the presidents.
Right. It's almost like counterfeit money or something. So I'm passing this out. My wife says to me, she comes up to me halfway through the night and says, how much of this money have you been passing out? I said, I'm passing out the joke money that you bought. She says to me, I didn't buy any joke money. I said, well, I don't know what this is. What is this that I'm passing out? I said, this is the gag stuff that you bought. She says, you're giving out $20 bills. And I said to her, this is not a $20 bill. This is joke money. And she said that the Treasury Department, and here's where now I start to break into a sweat. She says to me that the Treasury Department...
Were you giving out $20 bills?
Listen to what I'm saying. She says the Treasury Department issued new $20 bills. I said, these are bills that they have the big face on them, and they're over...
Yeah, this is a new $20 bill that they've issued. You didn't know that.
I live out of the country 6 months out of the year. And she shows me this thing. She says, there's a new $20 bill. I said, when did you know about this? My wife, okay... apparently, she said she found out. I mean, the bills look ridiculous, okay? And she said that the Treasury Department had not said anything about it. I didn't know anything about it. So I've given out, over the course of an evening...
You gave away you gave away 2,000 bucks worth of real money, huh?
Over the course of an evening, I gave away probably about $2,000 of real $20 bills, even though I had said to my... Even though my wife had said to me... That, or I thought that this was joke money, and she said, I said, had they made any announcement that they were issuing $20 bills? And she said, no. Now,
well, I knew about it. I mean,
well, did they make an announcement?
Well, I don't know if they made an announcement or not. I got the $20 bills when they were dispensing them at the ATM machines.
See, that's something that I don't know anything about because I don't go to ATM machines. All right, and there are a lot of people who are not transacting business that way. So. I've all of a sudden come home to the United States. There's a stack of this, what I think is fake money sitting on a dresser. I'm shoving it into envelopes. So I go over to the bank, and I had a promissory certificate that I drew up. And I went out over to the bank, and I said to them, basically, by giving the promissory certificate, that they owed me $2,000, okay, whatever denomination, because obviously I have... become familiar with the fact that this is real money, that it was not fake money, and the bank manager refuses to honor this. Now, I've been with this bank for 25 years, Phil. They have refused to honor it. It was an honest mistake that was caused by the United States government not making any really blanket announcement about this. I've been out of the country for...
Now, wait a minute. You went over to your bank, and you demanded that they reimburse you for the $20 bills that you were giving away?
No, I went with a promissory certificate. And
what is a promissory certificate?
It is simply my stating that this is money that they owe me based upon the fact that I've been out of the country. I was not aware of the fact that these $20 bills were real $20 bills.
You thought this was play money, that it was joke money.
That was the mistake that I made. I told the bank that it was an honest mistake, given the fact that by giving this new cash to my wife without any explanation, and I'm running around like a horse's ass on this. Okay? So they refused this after 25 years of being with this bank, and I told them I have a substantial amount of money that I keep in their bank. I've not only got maximizer accounts, I've got interest-bearing checking accounts, we have a retirement account with them, and they're refusing to honor this. And
well, yeah, but Charlie, how can you expect them... Okay, I got to take a break. I want to ask you a question, okay? How could you expect them to reasonably give you back $2,000 when you're passing the stuff out?
Because they had not made any announcement that this money was in circulation. The money certainly doesn't look like any real American money. It looks like fake money, play money, like joke money.
And all right, hold the line here. Charlie LaFountain with us here. He gave out $2,000 worth of the new 20s. He thought they were joke bills. So he's gone over to his bank demanding restitution. And did the bank manager say no? I think that's what he said. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Well, I don't live outside the country, so I knew what was going on. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Charlie, old buddy. Old pal, huh?
Well, you think this is sort of funny, and I guess the music, but
Yeah, but you handed out, you know, $2,000 of what you thought was play money, and they were real American $20 bills.
All right, Phil, but before you start to judge a little bit, I want you to understand something. I don't do a lot of cash transaction. I don't do a lot of bank transaction. I've got my people doing that. And my people who work for our family will do anything from grocery shopping.
I was going to ask you, do you go into the grocery store? Do you buy anything?
We go to restaurants and buy with credit cards. But we have a lady who shops for us. I got a business manager who pays the bills, and we pay most of our bills by way of check, as most people do. We do a lot of wire transactions. I don't have a lot of cash. I don't carry a lot of cash. All right? There are people like me. Before you make any judgment, and there are people like me who don't use a lot of cash, so you and especially when you're living outside the country, you're not aware of the fact.
And so you grab a stack of these $20 bills and give them. All right, hold on here for a second, Charlie. Charlotte on the line here on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that.
What are we taking phone calls here?
Yeah, we're going to take some calls from Liz. Is that okay?
I guess they're going to line up and tell me I'm an idiot, huh?
No, I don't know.
Pretty much. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well,
take a little responsibility for your own actions.
Wait a second. I do not deal in a lot of cash. I've mentioned this already.
I know. We got that. You made that crystal clear.
All right. Well, I'm not trying to say that. I'm not trying to hold my wealth up. I'm trying to say this is how you can make this mistake.
No. Well, you know what? They came on the news. Newspapers talked about the new bill.
Might have been America. I was living overseas for about 6 months.
Well, there's the internet.
Year.
There's all kinds of things, and I don't think it's your bank's responsibility to make good on your mistake. That's ridiculous.
What if the United States government makes some sort of an announcement to say that they are changing the look of the $20 bill? Because if you take that $20 bill out, Phil, and I don't know if you're carrying
one.
Yeah, I'm one of the poor people. I have a $20 bill. Okay.
Well, if you look at it, and I asked the lady, if you look at it, doesn't look like real money.
Well, you know what? It was your mistake. I don't think the bank owes you $2,000 for your mistake. It was a costly mistake.
No, wait a second.
But own up to it.
When you are living outside of the country, just hear me out. When you are living outside the country for a period of 6 to 8 months every year, all right, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, with 6 to 8 months every year, you do not deal in cash. The United States Treasury decides that they're gonna throw a curveball at you, and I'm running around like a horse's ass because I don't know that they've changed it. And you've said it. You called the show. You're talking to me. You think I'm a horse's ass, and that's your opinion, okay? I'm not.
Well, now I didn't say that.
Well, I'm running around like a horse's ass in this thing, giving away money that I thought was play money.
Right.
I'm running around like a horse's ass in this thing because the United States Treasury Department.
And I mean, I thought it was a great story until you got to the point where you said you basically were blaming or trying to basically ease out of your mistake.
Right.
Having the bank
you're
pay
telling
for
the
it.
You're telling the bank they have to pay for this.
Well, the United States Treasury did not make any announcement that I know of saying that they were changing the look of the $20 bill to the point where they're making it look like play money. Do you have one of the 20s?
I'm going through my wallet right now.
Not the best looking 20s in the world, but I'm saying there's probably a lot that went on in our country while you were overseas. And
yeah.
Just because you're not loop on everything doesn't mean you can blame the government because you personally weren't in the loop. I don't think they're going to send
a
newsflash
every time something
goes on in our country.
Look at the back
either
of the $20
stay in the loop
bill.
Or realize you're not in the loop, and then
let's say, you look at the back of the $20 bill, they have the 20 is like a 20 that you can print up on a printer, and the picture of Jackson is off-center, it's not even center.
Well,
looks,
you know what?
I agree.
The money looks stupid.
There you go. Now, imagine if you're out of the
government to pay for your mistake is really stupid.
No, ma'am, it's not stupid when you consider the fact that I do not deal in cash, that I lived out of the country 6 to 8 months.
So people that don't deal in cash or all that much cash or who live out, you said that you have large denominations.
I've got 50s and 100s, right. I don't deal in 20s all that much.
You know what? They changed the 50s and the 100s, too. You're just awful lucky that you didn't give those away.
Well, I will tell you this much. I believe that the bank has some.
Did you know they changed the 50s and the 100s?
I was not aware of that. No, ma'am.
Well, boy, take out your wad of bills there, whatever you got.
I don't carry a lot of cash, Phil.
All right, well, the next time you look at a 50.
I don't carry a lot of cash.
The bank has a fiduciary responsibility to people who have not been made aware of this change, and I believe that they at least owe me the $2,000 that I passed out at this birthday party.
See, now you're saying the bank owes you. A minute ago, you said the government owes you. You want someone to pay you for your mistake.
That's exactly right. The bank can go to the United States Treasury and be reimbursed. But you can't tell me that $20 bill looks like real money. Someone owes me. I don't know who. I don't know how. Someone owes me.
Charlie, babe.
You're not taking responsibility for your own mistake.
Yeah, but I didn't make a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. I left the country for 6 months. What mistake did I make?
Not staying in the loop.
Staying in the loop.
I mean, there's a lot that went on in our country while you were gone.
Do you know every law that's passed every day?
You just did not know.
Do you know every law that's passed every day by the United States Congress? Of course you don't.
No, but if I get tripped up by something, it's my own fault because I did not know.
What did you say to the bank? Thank you, ma'am, for your call, by the way. What did you say to the bank when you walked in there?
I said they had a fiduciary responsibility. Because I'm running around looking like a horse's ass on this deal. I'm giving out $20 bills. Somebody says to me that this is real money. My wife has to walk up to me in the middle of a birthday party for Mark Rutan, and Mark got a big laugh out of this thing. And I said, I'm running around like a horse's ass on this thing. And you know, you ask for the money back, and they're not going to give you the money back. I said, I didn't know it was real money. They said, what did you think it was? I said, I thought it was fake money or play money, and they laugh at you. So I'm running around looking like a horse's ass. And the United States Treasury, I think, does have a fiduciary responsibility.
All right, Charlie LaFountain with us. Phil Henry Show here. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. We'll get back to Charlie LaFountain. I just saw a line here in a memo that I was mentioning earlier from our GM. This is what confused me, okay? The rest of it is slowly sinking in. Innovations that can be tried on a limited basis have a far greater chance of being accepted than ideas that are not divisible. I ran that past 20 people around this joint. Nobody knew what that meant. Do you know what it means? Okay, thanks. Mike does. 1-800-449-8686. Mike does. Mikey knows. Because he wrote it. Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
I'm fine. I wanted to, I don't know if you're reading a memo from your boss or not. I wanted to make a mention here. And I'm very serious when I say this, because I know everybody's having a little bit of a laugh at my expense.
Well, what you did was, you took a stack of the new 20s and you gave them out at a birthday party thinking that they were fake because you've been out of the country for 6 months and you didn't know. All right, and my question...
No, so let me say something here, okay? First of all, I really believe the United States government makes every effort to make those of us who are wealthy, those of us who've got money, to look like horses' asses.
You believe that?
I really believe that the government has always been anti-wealth and has always been anti-the rich and those of us who've made something of our lives. And they come out with this new $20 bill while I'm overseas conducting business. People who are successful in business do travel internationally. We do business internationally. And when you have a government which is anti-wealth to begin with, and they introduce a new $20 bill so I look like a horse's ass, then I walk into a bank, which is a federally insured institution, and ask for recompense with a promissory certificate, and I'm told to go ahead and take my business someplace else. I can tell you something. It makes me very angry. But I put a call into the bank manager, who is a very good friend of mine, and obviously I don't want to lose my business, okay? So we're going to work something out here.
The bank is actually considering working something out, huh?
Let me tell you, when they do as much business as they do with a guy like me, you don't want to lose the business that I bring to those people. And as I made the point to Shelly Johnson, who's the bank manager, I said, Shelly, the government is anti-wealth.
And so the government put out new 20s to make you look stupid.
I'm running around like a horse's ass on this because I've been out of the country, there had been no announcement, and because the government, yes, enjoys making people who have money look stupid.
That's one of the goofiest explanations.
Well, tell you, when you get into my position, maybe you'll understand.
Okay, well, I'm not in your position. It's one of the goofiest things I ever heard in my life. Atlanta on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Atlanta?
Hello,
ma'am. Yes.
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, I was already on the air.
No, you're on the air now. You were never on the air.
Oh.
What were you doing? Were you talking all that time?
Listen, man.
Were you talking all that time?
I was.
Well, start all over.
I was talking that whole time.
Start all over again.
I'm fruity because I've been talking to somebody that wasn't even hearing me. Charlie,
you're a fruitcake. Hey, you calling me a fruitcake and you were sitting there talking to nobody? Wait a second. You were talking to nobody and I'm a fruitcake, huh? You were sitting there, you were talking into a phone with nobody talking to you,
see,
and I'm a fruitcake.
I'm allowed to be a fruitcake. I am me, and I don't go to the bank and ask for
Mr.
money
Henry.
Back.
Oh, no, wait. I want to ask Mr. Henry. Who do you think is stupider, a woman talking to nobody Well, meanwhile, running like a horse's ass with a $20
bill. Okay, wait a minute now.
All right, I don't want to get into the middle of that, okay?
$2,000.
What?
I don't give away money, man.
Hey, you don't give away money?
I'm telling you, Doug, too, that I think it's a matter of pride. It's not the money.
You're talking to yourself for 3 minutes, but you don't give away money.
I don't give away money. I spend it on worthwhile causes.
You spend cash, don't you?
Gas.
You use cash.
Food.
You use cash, right?
Yes, I use cash.
I don't use cash. I use credit cards, wire transfers, bank transactions. I have a lot of my people care about
those. I've heard the whole story. I've been listening to the radio the whole time. And, you know, I mean, they have New York Times in Europe. I know this for a fact. And, you know, pick up a newspaper. They made announcements, you know, for months in advance that they were changing the 20.
The government is anti-wealth. The government is anti-rich. And the government will do anything that it can to make me or people like me with money look like a horse's ass.
Well, no, the government's not anti-rich. I think you are anti-government.
No, I'm not anti-government. I give a lot of my money to the government.
It's not their fault that you made this mistake. You could have beforehand asked somebody. I mean, yeah, it does look like fake money. It really does look dumb.
You're familiar with the $20 bill,
you could have asked somebody beforehand before you even started giving away this money. I mean, I wish I was there. I could have used
it. Let me ask you a question. You're familiar with a $20 bill, correct?
Yeah.
All right, whose picture's on the $20 bill?
Whose picture's on the $20
bill? Yeah, she's got to ask. No fair. You got to ask, okay? So right off the bat, you don't know.
Frankly.
Right off the bat. What did that
tell me? Does that make me in the wrong, though?
You're more familiar with a $20 bill than I am, okay?
What did the guy say in the car? Did he say Franklin?
And I know how to spend it.
The guy that's riding with her said Franklin's picture's on it. Hey, ma'am.
Hey, lady. It's not a matter of money with you.
Lady, the guy who was riding with you said that Franklin's picture's on a $20 bill, correct?
Right, sure.
Okay, Charlie, whose picture's on a $20 bill?
I have no idea whose picture's on a $20 bill.
All right, well, it's Andrew Jackson. So you're both wrong, okay?
Okay, so I'm running around with a horse's ass, at least I got a minute.
Okay, I can't talk to that lady while she's got that dumbass. That guy doesn't know whose picture's on a 20 and he's driving. Here's Rock Hill on a Phil Henry show. Hello.
Hello.
Franklin's on a $50.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to give him a little heads-up warning that there are new quarters also.
Are you speaking with me, ma'am?
Yes. There's new quarters.
So in other words, what is that supposed to mean?
There are new quarters.
I don't deal in quarters
anymore. So your heads are up on that.
Wait a second. I don't deal in quarters.
Say just the 20s.
I don't deal in 20s. What I've been trying to tell people.
We got it. Wire transactions, credit cards.
That's correct.
Okay.
So you tell me this new quarters means about as much to me as this new 20s.
Well, I just wanted to let you know. I mean, in case you see a quarter and you don't know what it is and start handing it out to others.
So you're being facetious.
Yeah.
Why?
And another thing.
If I'm running around like a horse's ass because the United States government wants me to look like a horse's ass. All right, well. I may remind you of some crazy uncle, okay?
Well, what she said is true. There are new quarters, okay? So you don't want to be passing those out because you think that they're, like, wrapped in chocolate or something.
And I think Kermit the Frog is the one who announces that on public television.
I beg your pardon?
I think Kermit the Frog is the one who announced that on the public television, so...
What did she say?
I don't know. What are you saying, ma'am?
I'm saying that the commercial that announces that there are new quarters... is actually Kermit the Frog.
I don't deal in quarters.
So you know that there are, in case that you ever run across that.
No, but I don't deal in quarters. I'm talking about $20 bills that I gave out.
Okay, now you're talking about your $20 bills.
Let me ask you a question. Whose picture's on a 20?
I have no clue.
You got no clue. So everybody, I'm running around like a horse's ass.
I have a question for you.
Here, they don't know whose picture's on a $20 bill. And why does that make me a horse's ass if you don't know whose picture's on a $20 bill is all I'm saying.
I have a question for you.
You're running around like a horse's ass.
I am.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you say that all your people take care of all your money and all your
transactions. Yes, I got a business manager. We have a manager in the home. She buys all the groceries. We have a staff that staffs our home.
Okay. Then they deal with all your money, right?
They deal with
then they owe you $2,000 because they did not make you aware of that. It's not the bank.
No, they weren't the ones that got the money. My wife went and got a stack of these bills from the bank, she tells me. She went to some, I forget what it was. What's it called? When you don't go in the bank, what is it?
ATM?
What is that?
ATM. A teller machine?
Yeah.
She went to one of the, a machine. She gets the money out of that? I don't know. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
All right. She goes, she gets a benefit. She brings this stuff home. I thought it was a gag.
Well, and you're running around like a horse's ass.
Anything.
Okay.
It's your fault. If you're so wealthy, then what's $2,000?
Hey, $2,000.
It's a joke on you.
I got to be wealthy because I watch my nickels, I watch all of my pennies, and I watch it. But
you're not watching your quarters,
okay,
man.
So
watch your quarters,
all
okay?
Your nickels and all your pennies.
I had figure of speech, but I keep
let
a very
you know
close
that there's
my...
no quarters.
There's a
so
new
you
quarter,
can
right?
Watch out for those too. I think
very
they're
funny.
Pennsylvania.
Ha, ha, ha.
Okay. Thank you. It's got a picture of Washington on a horse or something, I think. Hi, ma'am. Thank you very much.
George Washington, yeah, his first president.
Yeah, his picture's on a quarter there, Charlie.
You know, Phil, I realize that you're making light of it. The fact of the matter is the United States government, which should have a fiduciary responsibility to people to let them know that you've got this new currency in circulation, because seriously, it was an embarrassment to me. And
well, hey, what a nice birthday party. You handed out $2,000, huh?
But I don't hand out money, all right, unless they know that I'm handing out money. And I think everybody's the same way.
Okay. What is this, Santa Quinn? On the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I think he made himself look stupid when he was asking for money back at the party. I mean, telling him it was a mistake and asking for the money back.
I had no idea. I didn't know I was giving out the real $20 bills.
Well, I understand that, and I could totally understand the mistake you made and I'd be upset about it, but going back to the people and announcing it to everyone and asking for the money back, that's what made you look silly.
Well, why does that make me look silly?
Why does that make you look silly?
Yes.
Because you announced the mistake you made to everyone instead of keeping it private. You could have just thought, well, I'm at a birthday party, and everyone thinks I'm a stingy cuss, and hey.
How did you say it, Charlie?
I said, excuse me, Mark. I was talking to Mark and some of the guests. I was under the impression I was giving out joke money. I did not know that it was they were 20s. Could I have them back?
Well, I mean,
that's funny,
right,
huh?
There.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Did they give the money back?
Yes, they gave the money back, of course. They're friends of mine.
If they gave the money back, then how could you ask for the bank the money?
Because they have a fiduciary responsibility to make us aware of the fact that they are giving out money that looks like play money.
But if they gave the money back, you have no loss.
Well, I'm going to get the money back because I talked to the bank manager.
Yeah, you mentioned, is the bank manager going to actually make good on this?
Absolutely.
So, in other words, you got your $2,000 back from your guests, and they're still going to give you $2,000.
And not only that, see, I'm poor. Well, I have, what, maybe $200 in the bank?
Let me explain.
They ain't going to do anything like that for me if I'm
Because you don't give them a lot of, I give them a lot of business, dear. I hope someday that you have a lot of money, okay? But I do a lot of business with the bank, okay? What they do with your money when you invest money with a bank is they use that money, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I do a lot of business with them. No bank is going to tell me that they're not giving me money when I ask them for it. No
well,
bank.
Well, when you introduced the topic, I already knew you got
no bank
from the bank.
No bank's going to tell you.
No, they're not going to do that to me. I give them a lot of business. Okay, and that's the difference between the deposits that I make, dear, and your $200 or whatever. Is it a checking account?
Yeah.
It's not even interest bearing, is it? Do you have a savings account?
Do I have a savings account? I'm too
who's
poor.
Whose picture's on a $20 bill?
I don't have no
there
idea.
There you go. Okay, see? That's what I'm talking about. So nobody knows.
Yeah, but she knows what a 20 looks like. And if she got a $20 bill, she'd know it was a real 20.
Yeah, I sure would.
She says so. She don't know whose picture's on it. You have Ben Franklin's picture on that thing.
All right. Anyway, thank you very much, ma'am. I can't believe you got your money back from the bank.
They're gonna recompense tomorrow, yeah.
All $2,000.
They're gonna do something for me, right. You know, it's shocking to you, and I understand that, but you have to understand what I'm saying to you. I do a lot of business with this bank. They have a fiduciary responsibility. I'm running around looking like a horse's ass. And
you're running around looking like a horse's ass because you were giving away real $20 bills, and you didn't know that they were real. You thought it was Monopoly money. Yeah, you're running around looking like a horse's ass. What I don't get is that the bank is going to reimburse you even though people give the money back. You must be rich, man. It's the Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry here at 1-800-449-8686. There aren't too many, maybe this makes me unusual, because even when I'm hanging with friends, I don't sit and discuss necessarily who's the latest, most beautiful woman, like on TV or in films. Or maybe I do, and maybe I just am not remembering it. Or maybe it's something that other guys talk about when I'm there, but I don't really participate. But there is the one woman who I would say is like knockout gorgeous, beautiful in a lot of different ways. Not only is she physically beautiful, but she's also kind of an interesting woman. Apparently, she speaks like 10 languages or something. She's, you know, highly educated, college educated. This Ashley Judd, who's on the cover of GQ. And the first film I saw her in, now what, before Heat, what was she on? I know I'd seen her in something before Heat, but I guess I first noticed her in Heat. But to me, Matthew McConaughey, oh, Time to Kill. Time to Kill? See, I totally missed her in that. Because the big thing going on then was Sandra Bullock. She was number one with a bullet. Sandra Bullock has sort of faded. Ashley Judd, I don't know if you could compare the two, but Ashley Judd to me is like one gorgeous woman. And I mean beautiful not only physically, but she's got brains. And the article is actually the cover of GQ says, Ashley Judd, a ball buster we love. Something about the really smart woman who could, you know, eat you up and spit you out, but she's basically, I guess, sort of sensitive. Now, I said all of that to say what? I don't know. Other than the fact that I'm sitting here in my Gantt clothing looking at Ashley Judd and go, yeah, Roger. Yeah, okay, fat boy, you really like Ashley Judd, huh? Huh? You thought it said gay. No, it doesn't say gay, Mike. It says G-A-N-T, Gantt. Gantt, fat man clothing, since 1860. God dang, I can't get over that. And not only that, it's got the little American symbol there, you know, that red, white, and blue shield. As if to say what, you know, endorsed by the Armed Services of America. It says USA. Maybe it's because it's made in the USA. The clothing is made in the USA. But it's Gantt. And as I mentioned earlier, this was told to me by our program director, who's a nice guy, but he battles the same, you know, the big gut like I do. He's got a balloon gut on him like I do. He says, yeah, that fat man clothing, ain't that cool? I look like a gas station attendant with a shirt on. Hey, baby, did you hear that one? Maria. And I think he's got more right than wrong on that one, because it's a short-sleeve blue shirt with the collar. Plus, I'm wearing the very tasteful white T-shirt, the Hanes beefy tee underneath it, right? And I got this thing that says Gantt with the little American shield, like I'm selling USA oil here or something. Wash the window, sir?
White button.
With the white buttons. She says, wear that shirt. It's a nice shirt. I think I'm going to go out today. She says, oh, no, wear that the blue. I said, I need a shirt. I had a pair of shorts on today. I'm one of these guys, I wear shorts to the bitter end. I mean, it can get to be about 30 degrees. Then I say, okay, now I got to put on some long pants, because I don't want summer to end. I don't want the summer to end. Who does? Of course. So I'm wearing them shorts to the bitter end, Jim. It looks like it's made for you, honey. Right. Oh, look at this nice shirt. Wear the shorts. Why don't you ever wear the short sleeve blue Gantt shirt that I bought you? I said I would rather squeeze into an extra small T-shirt than wear my fat boy wear. So I got a pair of shorts on today. I says, can you go get me a shirt? Because I got to, you know, would you please? She went up and she brought this down. Oh, man. So anyway, where was it? With Ashley Judd. So she's knockout, man. She's gorgeous. And there's an article that I, oh, wow, look at this. This is, like, unbelievable. I can't believe that she's allowing herself to be photographed in such poses. You know, because there's more to the woman than just the, well, maybe I'm being a little, now I'm getting a little too intellectual. Hey, look, she's good looking, and that's, and she's not particularly built, per se, but she is, she's sexy as hell. And how old is she? 30-something? So you can sit, you can dream, you can sit here in your Gantt wear and your fat boy wear and dream about these kinds of things, huh? Michael Bolton is going out with her? Now I'm very disappointed, although, why should I be? He's probably a very sweet guy, and what the hell? He cut off the ponytail. He's okay. People don't like, he's got a hell of a voice. How can you knock Michael Bolton? The guy's got a good, all right, so he picks his material in a kind of, I don't know, half-ass way. He's running around, as Charlie LaFontaine would say, looking like a horse's ass in some of that material he sings. But he's a good man. I'm sure he's got a big heart, and that's why she's with him. Now, we got Jeff Dowder, who will be coming up with us next hour to talk about some major events in the history of popular music that he has personally witnessed. We come to the end of the millennium, and have we had enough of that word yet? Or are we, you know, when we come out with our CD called Fillennium, I guess probably we're going to beat that horse another couple of strokes. Not millennium. It ain't going to be Billennium. It's going to be Fillennium, our best of the Phil Henry 1999 CD. So we'll pound that horse into raw meat. In any event, we got another Millennium Retrospective, and this one having to do with the defining moments in popular music. We're going to talk about that. There's a lot of bands that are getting back together, and Doubter is going to be on to talk with us about a paper that he has written for the that's appearing right now on the internet called What I Seen. And it is colloquial in nature, certainly, about very, very significant events in the history of music, popular live events in the history of music that he has personally witnessed. And I think you're going to be very impressed to hear this litany of amazing shows that he saw. But USA Today has presented the defining moments in popular music, and among them, and they start back in 1936 and they work all the way to the present, 1999. Like this year, ex-Fugee Lauryn Hill receives 11 Grammy Award nominations. She walks away with a record 5 awards, including Album of the Year and Best New Artist. And rap metal quintet Korn emerges from obscurity. Ex-Menudo hunk Ricky Martin begins Grammy-winning solo career. Rap metal hybrid Kid Rock takes center stage with Limp Bizkit. New kids on the block are born again with the arrival of Backstreet Boys. And potty mouth rapper Eminem signs on Dr. Dre's label. And in 1936, Billboard introduces the world's first sales chart. The first number one single was Stop, Look, and Listen by Joe Venuti. Louis Armstrong and his orchestra recorded Jeepers Creepers. Country legend Hank Williams dies of heart failure brought on by alcohol and pills. Now, here we have all of these wonderful things musically, all of these wonderful moments on stage, but let's not forget Hank Williams croaked because of booze and pills, 1953. Defining moments in popular music. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.